Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf ayin tet. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Ike Shehbar in honor of the rabbi, the Skelim Mitzvot Ike. Today's daf is being studied the Alun Ishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem began Eden. Amen. We begin on Ayin Het Amud Sheni, three lines from the bottom. Go back to our Mishnah. We were discussing a case of a haritz, a ditch, Sheben Bet Hatzerot, that was between two Hatzerot. It was ten deep, ten tefachim deep that is, and four tefachim wide. So the Mishnah said that that serves as a hefsek between the two Hatzerot, and therefore your only option is to make separate Erubin. You cannot make one joint Eruv. The Mishnah even said, even if you filled it with cash or teven, even if you filled it with straw or hay, that does not serve as a filler, and therefore one must actually mevatel it, which is one must actually nullify it and say he's going to keep it there. Until he says that, it's not considered a filler, and therefore you still have to make separate arubin. As opposed to what the Mishnah said, if you fill it up with tzirorot and afar, if you fill it up with rocks or dirt, which normally stays there in the hole, in the ditch, then already it's considered a filler, and therefore it's considered one big area, and your only option now is that you make one collective eruv, hatzerot, for both areas, all considered in one hatzer. That was the lashon of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, Male afar, if you fill the haritz with afar, va'afilu bistama. Sounds like from the Mishnah, even bistama, where you do not have any, let's say, specific kavanah to leave it there. Which means you didn't say, I'm mevatelling the afar. You just put the afar in there. Without any blanket kavanah, from the Mishnah it sounds like, that'll still serve as a hatitza. So comes the Gemara and says, V'afilu b'stama v'hatena, but didn't we learn in the Mishnah? Now this Mishnah is regarding the laws of Tum'at Mit. We've learned this several times, that when you have a mit in a house, so the house is considered an ohel over the mit, and therefore the Tum'ah is contained underneath the ohel, and whatever is in the ohel obviously becomes tameh. But let's say there is no space, and for that matter, less than a tefach space between the mit and the roof and the ohel, then already the tum'ah does not get contained under the ohel. Then the law is the tum'ah breaks through the ohel and goes all the way up to the shamayim. That's the law, which means to be considered an ohel, you need a tefach distance of space between the ohel and the mit itself. Less than that, it's called tum'ah bokat ve'oleh. The tum'ah breaks through and goes all the way up outside. So comes the Mishnah, the Hatenan, Bayit shemil'uhu teven o tzirorot. You have a house that had a mit in it, and you fill the house up with tzirorot. U'bitlo, and you were mevatel it, meaning you made the fact that you're leaving it there, meaning you said that you're mevateling it. So then the deen is what? Batel. Only in that case where you batel it, means you negated it there, or you abandoned it there, that's a good word, which is you abandoned it there, meaning you said, I'm leaving it there. Then it's considered already enough to mevatel the ohel for the tum'ah to be boka'at ve'oleh. So the Gemara makes the obvious diyuk. Bitlo in. Lo bitlo la. Which means only because you mevatel it. But if you did not mevatel, you did not negate it there, it does not serve as a barrier. And therefore say the same thing in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah it says, when you put the tzirorot in the harich, tzmashma stam. So no, stam doesn't work it seems. You actually have to negate it, just like in the case of the bayit with the mit. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Avuna, man tana aholot Rabbi Yosehi. So he comes along and says, listen, don't ask from that Mishnah. That Mishnah regarding the laws of aholot, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yosef. So he's a da'at yahid, you know, he's his own opinion. Our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yosef. Whereas Rabbi Yosef requires bitul, our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yosef, therefore bitul is not a requirement. So comes the Gemara and says, E Rabbi Yosef, if you're going to tell me that that Mishnah, by bitul, by tum'ah, is indeed Rabbi Yosef, itcha shem'inaneh. We actually learned the opposite. Why? What did we learn? In the name of Rabbi Yosef, no less. Netanya, we have a braita. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Tebin, you have, let's say, straw. Again, the same case. You have a mat in a house, and you're filling up the house now. Tebin ve'en atid lefanoto. If you have straw, and you do not intend to remove it, harehu kisetam afar. That has a deen of stam afar. Meaning, stam afar is considered, you're leaving it there. So, what bitul of tevin is equal to stam afar. Obviously, the afar is more obvious that you're going to leave it there, so you don't even need a bitul. Now, ubatil. Afar ve'atid lefanoto. Afar, with intent to remove it. Harehu kesetam tevin. That has the deen of stam tevin. Okay, which is stam tevin is also intention to, or we assume you're going to, remove it. Velo batil. So what do you see from over here? You see over here, according to Rabbi Yosef, when it comes to, let's say, afar, stam is considered enough to be considered that you're leaving it there. So how could you tell me that that Mishnah that said that when it comes to tzirorot and things like that, that you have to leave it inside, which means you have to be vatelit to be considered a bitul, you have to negate it in the house, how could you tell me that that's following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef? And therefore, that Mishnah is Rabbi Yosef, leave it, that we don't have a problem against our Mishnah. No! We see that Rabbi Yosef holds what? That even by afar, you also, by afar, that stam by afar, mm-hmm, is considered a bitul. So therefore you cannot say that that Mishnah is Rabbi Yosef. So now we're back. That Mishnah must be going like Hachamim, must be going like the majority opinion. If that's the case, so now we have a stira between that Mishnah of Tum'ah and our Mishnah. Comes the Gemara and says, El Amar Rav Aseh, Man Tana Erubin Rabbi Yosehi. It's okay, go the other way. Who's the opinion that is the Mishnah that we have in Erubin over here? That is the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, which means our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef. So comes the Gemara and says, and therefore what? And therefore, according to that, well, let's look at Rashi, please. Fourth line. Please, fourth line. Hareu kistam afar. Ke'afar she'en anu yud'imi matid lefanoto ilo. Destameh batil. Alma l'Rabbi Yosef, afar stam batil. Which means, afar stam that you place it there is going to be considered batil. Stam tevin shen anu yod'imi mislek letlo, lo batil. So therefore, comes the Gemara and says, fine. Instead of saying that that Mishnah in Tum'ah is a Rabbi Yosef, because it can't be, we will say that the opinion of our Mishnah that says when you put afar and srorot in the haritz, stam, right, you don't need to make bitul. Whose opinion is that? Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef is consistent, at least, between his law of Tum'ah and his law of Erubin. So comes the Gemara, that's one answer. Comes the Gemara and says, Ravuna b'Rav Yoshua Amar, Tum'ah Ashabat Karamit. So what Rav Huna does over here, he says, he knocks out the question from the inception. He says, what are you talking? You're asking a stira from the laws of Shabbat to the laws of Tum'ah? You can't ask questions like that. Why? Hanach isur Shabbat da'afilu arne kename mevatel inish. When it comes to Shabbat, a person is mevatel a lot more important things. For example, a wallet on Shabbat. A person is mevatel his wallet. What do you mean he mevatel it? Which means if it's on the floor of somewhere on Shabbat, his intention is he's leaving it there. He's mevateling it. Why? Because it's mukseh. Since you have a law of mukseh on Shabbat, everything becomes automatically where you are, leaving it there. So he says, you can't ask me a question from Tum'ah to Shabbat. On Shabbat, when you put afar and srorot, on Erev Shabbat obviously, and you fill it in the hole, you know why stama is bitul? Because it's mukseh. Hey, forget about afar. So if you put a wallet, in wallets, you mevatel because you can't move it. Masha'enken the gabet tum'ah. Tum'ah, there's no laws of mukseh, and therefore it's not going to be considered bitul until you actually mevatel it. Which is, I could say, there is no contradiction. I could say the author of our Mishnah and the author of the Mishnah by tum'ah is one author. But there is no contradiction. By Shabbat, you need... By Shabbat, stama is enough. And by tum'ah, you need bitul. Why? On Shabbat, since you have a law of mukseh, so that one of the assumptions, when you put something in there, for example, even a wallet, which is davar hashuv, doesn't matter. You know, you can't move it. But tum'ah, it's not going to be considered a hatzitza until you actually mevatel. So that's the second answer. Comes Gemara and says, Rav Asher Amar, Bayit Aharitz Karamit. He takes a different approach. He says, you're asking from a haritz to a house? Forget about Tum'at to Shabbat. Right? Our case, the Mishnah is talking about you're filling up the haritz. The case of Tum'at is you're filling up a house. So the Gemara says, you can't ask a question from a haritz to a house. Why not? Mishtama haritz limit yameka'e. What's the purpose, or what's the what is a haritz standing to happen to it? What do you do with haritzim? You fill it. It's standing to be filled. What do you do with it with a hole? You fill it. So therefore, stama will be considered a filler. However, elabayit limityamekae. Does a house stand to be filled? Of course not. Who goes and starts filling up the house with stuff to the ceiling? So therefore, by a house, it has to be what? Mevatel. So therefore, we have three answers to this question. Let's review the three answers. The question again was what? A stira from the laws of Erubin to the laws of Tum'ah. One answer was that we're going with the Mishnah as far as Shitat Rabbi Yosef. And he's loyal to his opinion by Tum'ah, that also says Stama is enough. So Stama in the Mishnah, and Stama by the laws of Tum'ah. One answer. Second answer, no. We're even asking a question. There's no connection between Tum'ah and Shabbat. By Shabbat, it's automatic bitul. Because why? Mukseh. Like you have a wallet on Shabbat, you're not going to move it. Mm-hmm. But why Tum'ah is no bitul? Therefore, until you make bitul, it doesn't hayitz. Third answer, no connection between a haritz and a bayit. A haritz that's standing to be filled, once you fill it, finish, consider it filled. You don't have to mevatel it. By shaking a house that's not normally standing to be filled up, not until you actually mevatel. Comes the Gemara further. Now we go to the cases of the boards. Natan alav neser shirohav arba. What do we say in the Mishnah? One of the ways to connect these two hatzerot was by placing a board, a neser that was 4 tefachim wide, and you place it across the width of the haritz that serves like a bridge. And therefore it joins both Hatzerot to be one. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Lo shanu ela shenatan lerochbo. When did we necessitate that the plank be for tefahim? That's when you're placing it width-wise. However, aval le'orko, but let's say you place the plank to the length of the haritz, afilu kol shehu nameh, even if it's very narrow, even less than four tefahim, even a kol shehu, shehare mi'ato midalid, which means you narrowed the haritz less than dalit. When is a haritz considered a hefsek? When it's four wide. So we have two options. Either make a bridge to go across it, so therefore it's accessible now, so therefore it makes it one. Or another option is minimize, narrow it to three. How would I do that? Take a plank, actually, that she says, put stilts underneath it, in order so it's elevated a little. If you look in your picture 270, you see exactly how they did it. Artscroll also has a picture as well. Place it to the length of the haritz, and now what it does is, that area at least is less than 40 tefachim wide. Once it's less than 40 tefachim wide, it's considered one, and therefore they have the option to make an eruv together. Comes the Gemara further. V'chein shtei gezustraot. Zu keneged zu. Let's review how we learned the Mishnah yesterday. L'shitat Rashi. Shitat Rashi by the gezustraot was you have two balconies. Shitat Rashi is they're on the same side. Okay? They're on the same side. And the chiddush is you have, let's say, the porches that are sticking out from the houses on the second floor, let's say, the balconies that have these porches that are sticking out, and they're parallel to each other, they're next to each other. So that she said the same deen, you could put a plank across them to access from one gezustra to the next, just like the case of the hatzerot. And once you put the plank, so then it's permissible to make an eruv amongst both residents, and therefore you can carry from one gezustra to the other. That's Shitat Rashi. Shitat Tosfot learned that we're talking about where they're across the street from each other. But we're going to go according to Shitat Rashi that they're on the same side, and therefore the deen is similar to the first case where you're putting the plank. So the Gemara says, V'chein shnei gezustra zu keneged zu. Amar Rava. Had amar zu keneged zu. That which we said that they are next to each other. In that case, we allow you to put a plank. However, zu shelo keneged zu, lo. But if they are not keneged each other, then no. Now, what's the case that they're not keneged each other? So we have some pictures. One picture would be in your art scroll, or you have a picture. Okay, good. One of the homes, let's say, is protruding out. Okay? The houses are not flush with each other. So if one of the homes is protruding out, the gezustra that's protruding now is not going to be on a straight line. One is going to be in front of the other. So it's a zigzag. Mm. Or for that matter, the Gemara says, and that's considered the case of shelo keneged zelo, vizu lemala mizu nameh. Or for that matter, the houses are flush with each other, but one of the gezustraot are higher than the next. So now already, you have a problem. So the Gemara says, in that case, the only way to adjust it is as follows. Nameh lo amran ela sheyesh ben ze leze shlosha tefahim. If between each gezustra, there's less than three tefahim separating it, then we allow you to make an eruv by joining both of them. Aval en ben ze leze shlosha. But if in that case where the gezustrot are not parallel to each other on the same line, and it's more than three tefachim away, gezustra akumahi. It has a deen of a gezustra akuma, and therefore it's crooked, it's not accessible to each other, and therefore even if you put a plank, since it's not straight really, it's hard to access, therefore even a plank will not help you. So then we have chidushim. When they're equal for each other, there's no shi'ud of distance between them. So long as you can get a plank across, you're okay. When they're in front of each other or on top of each other, then already the three tefachim rule kicks in. If it's within three tefachim, put a plank of arba'ah, put it across, walk across, technically you're okay, they're one. But more than three tefachim, nothing's going to help it. That's considered an akum, it's crooked, and therefore you cannot make these two gizos trot as one. Comes the new Mishnah. Concepts that we already have learned on the previous daf. Matbin. What is a matbin? A pile of tevin, a haystack, exactly. Matbin shebin shte chatzerot. So it's between two chatzerot. Gavoa asarat tefachim. So we learned yesterday that what? When you have a haystack, it serves as a wall. And therefore it separates between the two chatzerot. Me'arvim shenayim ve'en me'arvim ehad. So the only option is to make two separate erubin. They cannot make one joint eruv because they are separated by the haystack. Now, elu ma'achilin mikan ve'elu ma'achilin mikan. And the chiddush is that each chatzir can carry in their own chatzir. And for that matter, they can let their animals eat from the haystack. So on this side of the haystack, the animals are eating. And on the other side of the haystack, the animals are also allowed to eat. Rashi, ma'achilin, mina tevin lebehemtam. Ve'lo chayshinan dilma mam'it tevin miyud. Dahav yilu hadar ishuta va'aseh ahadadeh. Which is, why don't you make a gezerah, Rashi says. Rashi says, you don't make a gezerah. What would the gezerah be? If you allow the animals to eat, eventually they're going to minimize the wall. Once they minimize the wall now you don't have a wall of 10, now all of a sudden everybody's considered one, and you didn't make an eruv. Amongst the nats, assume anybody to carry. So Gemara says, ve'lo maske adatai umitaltele b'chatzer, and maybe you should gezerah, they're not going to realize that the matben became minimized. They're going to end up carrying in the chatzer, lehal lo haishinam. Why? Da'afilu imi'it. Even if, let's say, it did go down. Ilo havi mi'ut al pnei esr amot ve'yoter lo asre. Which means the only time, it's not enough for part of the matben to go down to less than asara. To become one, you need a pirtza. A pirtza has got to be at least 10 amot. So therefore, either they have to eat the entire, if it's less than 10 amot, they have to eat the entire area across, less than 10. If it's more than 10 amot, they have to at least 10 amot across, less than 10 to be considered a pirtza. For that much eating by animals over the course of a Shabbat, we are not choshesh. So therefore, the animals are allowed to eat on the respective sides. But the Gemara then, Mishnah then says, nitma'it ma'asarat tefachim. But let's say it was nitma'it, meaning either the whole thing across less than 10 or at least more than 10 amot, that's considered a legitimate pirtza. Me'arvin ehad ve'en me'arvim shnayim. Once you already have a pirtza, a breach, so now they're considered one. Your only option is to make one eruv amongst the hatzerot and not two. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Avuna Ubilvad shelo yiten letoch kupato v'ya'achil, so long as you don't take from the matben and put it in the box and feed your animals. Well, you're allowed to let the animals go and eat from the haystack, but you can't actually go and take the food from the haystack and put it in, let's say, boxes. Why? That's she. Shelo yiten biyadayim letoch kupato. Why? Dilma shakil tuva. Because when the guy is taking, you take a lot. And we're concerned what? Umam'it le ma'asara. Ve'kamit taltil b'chatzira oseret. Uma'achilin diktani b'matnitina. But it says ma'achilin. Ma'achilin is mashma, that you're taking the food and you're giving it. But you just said you can't take the food. So that she says, shabehema ba'av ve'ochelet. Meaning it's not where the animal is just going by itself. Because an animal eats little by little. But if you can allow the master to go start now filling up kupot with the food, so then the concern is what? He's going to take a lot and you're going to mimaret the matben, and then you're going to end up carrying unwittingly. So comes the Gemara and says, Ul ukme share. Oh, but are you telling me to allow your animal to stand there and eat? Is that okay? Why? Beha amar Ravuna amar Rav Hanina ma'amid adam et behemto al gabe asabim b'shabbat. It is permissible for a person to put his animal to eat grass on Shabbat. You can go stand by your animal as he's eating the grass on Shabbat. Ve'en ma'amid adam et behemto al gabe mukseh b'shabbat. But you're not allowed to have him stand over mukseh in order to eat it. Now, what's the question? Rashi. Amar Rav Hanina. You see Rashi, Amar Rav Hanina? Tanina. Ma'amid adam et behemto al gabe asim. Mechubarim. The grass is talking about it's attached to the ground. We're not hoshesh that when you're standing over your animal and he's eating grass, that you might come and pull the grass out and start feeding. Why are we not hoshesh? You know, that's very stringent. The guys aren't going to go ripping out grass on Shabbat. Aval isur mukseh til. But when it comes to lo mukseh, guy treats it lightly. He doesn't think it so seriously. And therefore what? V'aishina dilma shakil biyadayim v'safeh. Oh, so if that's the case, Rashi says, ha'chaname kevan di'isurat d'rabbananu ikanihush. Which is over here, no, it's not mukseh. The animal food is not mukseh. No. No, it's not mukseh. Food. It's food for the animal. No, food for the animal is fine. The point is over here, we're concerned, the whole issue over here is at worst, it's isurat d'rabbanan. Even if you carry in a chatzir that doesn't have the proper partition or proper eruv, I should say, Yisud Rabbanan. Therefore, in Yisud Rabbanan we say what? People are not careful. And therefore, it should be forbidden to even allow the person's animal to come along and eat. Which is just like we're osir, a person to go take his animal to put it over mukseh, because what? You're concerned that the guy might come and make an isud. So therefore say the same thing, that well, how does the Mishnah allow me, in a case of a rabbinical issue, to go take my animal and let him eat from the food, which means I can even go a step further. Which means maybe also I'll be choshesh that once already I'm allowing the animal to eat, I'll come start taking now, that goes mukseh, and I'll start filling it up in my kupot, and now already I'm going to minimize the shi'ur, which means we make gizerot when it comes to the rabbinical situation. So comes the Gemara and says, right, that's exactly the pshat, that you might come to take it with your hands, and we don't suspect that. So why, when it comes to the case of the mukseh, where we don't let the animal stand there, because you might come to take the mukseh, whereas over here, we're letting the animal go eat from the matben, and we're not concerned that what? You might come take it biyadayim and minimize the, and when it comes to yisud rabbanan that are kal on a person, we do make such gezerot. Comes the Gemara on answers. Dekaim la be'apa ve'azla ve'achla, which means you're right. You're not allowed to actually go take the animal itself and bring it to eat from the tevet. You cannot. All you're allowed to do is dekaim la be'apa. You're allowed to stand there in a way where now the animal has no choice but to go to the matben to eat. Which is, you're right, you can't take the animal and guide it to the matben to eat. That would be asud as well. But what? The came the vape. If you box it in, where you're standing in a certain angle, let's say, where the animal has no options to he's cornered, exactly. He has no way to get out. So that already is permissible. So look at the first white line in Eshi. The came vape. Matnitin al Mishnah lab demokim la ala biyadayim. It's not where you're actually bringing the animal biyadayim to eat. Ela kai be'apa shelo telech bimkom aher. Now, once already, you can't go anywhere else. V'iyu azda ba'achla on its own. They could high lo gazur banan. That far already, rabbis weren't gozer. They were gozer you to bring it there. Just like they were gozer you that the animal can't eat over the mukseh. But ad kedekach, that they're telling you, you can't even box it in where it goes on its own. That already, the rabbis were lenient. So again, when the Mishnah said that you could feed the animal from the matben, it's only in a case where you were boxing it out and not bringing it towards the matben. Comes the Gemara further. Then we said in the Mishnah what? Or in the Beraita, on the Gemara of Huna's statement, you cannot fill up boxes of straw. But didn't we learn in the Beraita? Bayit sheben shte hatzerot. Okay, you have a house that's in between two hatzerot. Want to see a picture of that? We have a picture of that in the art scroll. Do we have a picture of that in our picture book?
Yes.
273. Oh, okay, perfect. Let's see that. Let's try to depict this picture over here. Okay, you have Chatzerot. Okay? Right in the middle of the Chatzerot, you have a house. And the house is filled with Tevin. Okay? It's right in the middle. You have to imagine a chatzir, like a wall, right? There's a little breach in the wall where a house comes in that breach. Mm-hmm. And there's a bet ha-tevin. There's a house filled with tevin. And then you have an outer house that are going into, it's going into each chatzir. So you have a middle house with tevin, a house to the right, a house to the left. And the houses on the right and left are in their respective chatzirot. And the tevin house is right in the center, between. So comes the Gemara and says, what's the deen in this case? Va'atanya. Bayit sheben shtei hatzerot. Umil'ahu tevin. And they filled it up with straw. Oh, hey. Me'arvin shnayim ve'en me'arvin echad. Okay, well, since the tevin is like a wall, it separates access. Because if the tevin wasn't there, you have a straight path right through. Once you have it filled up with tevin, so now already the only option is each chatzin makes their own eruv. Good? Now, ve'en ma'arvin ehad, but they cannot make an eruv collectively. Ze noten letoch kupato v'yachil, ve'ze noten letoch kupato v'yachil. Oh, but what does it say in the Mishnah, the Braita here? They both have access to the middle area. The guy in the right can go to the middle area, take tevin, put it in his box, feed his animals. The guy on the other side can go to the middle house, take tevin, put it in his box, and feed it to his animals. That's the stira right there. You just told me what? That you're not allowed to go put the tevin in your box. You're only allowed to let the animal eat. Here already, they're letting you actually go and put the tevin in your box. And then what does the Braita say? Nitma'eta tevin miyut tefahim. And in the event that if the tevin becomes diminished from ten tefahim, shenehem asurim. But then both of them become asur because they're now one hatzer opened. They didn't make an eruv for both of them, so they become asur. And then the Mishnah Braita goes on. How do you adjust that? Let's say that happened on Shabbat. What's the only way to adjust it? Ketzad hu oseh. Meaning now that happened on Shabbat. Mm-hmm. Now the guys in the Hatzot, they want to carry. Oh, very good. That's exactly the Gemara's answer. Nu'el et beto. So, the answer is one of the Hatzerot, one of the houses, let's say, the outer house, he has to lock his door. So that means he has no access now into his Hatzer. U'mibatil et reshuto. And then he has to mibatil his reshut to the next guy. So therefore, the next guy now has access to his chatzer now, because the other guy was mevatil his reshut. The Gemara is going to ask, what does he have to lock his door for? I mean, we never saw this before. She's normally, he's mevatil your reshut. Now he's telling you have to lock your door to his chatzer. What do I lock my door for? Okay, the Gemara will analyze that in a second. Now, who asur? Now he becomes asur to go into the chatzer because he negated his rights. The chaveru mutar. But at least the other guy is permissible now to carry in the in his own chatzir. Good? V'chen ata omer, similarly, begov shel tevin. That's like a pile of tevin, pile of straw, hay. Sheben bet techumesh shabbat. Interesting case. Let's say you have the Tum Shabbat. You have two guys that set up the Tum Shabbat. Mm-hmm. Okay? You have a city over here, you have a city over here. So the 2,000 Ammah of this city ends in the middle here, and the 2,000 Ammah of this city ends right over there as well. Mm-hmm. Okay? So now, right in the center of that spot, there's a pile of Tevin. So the Hiddush is, each guy respectively can walk up to the Tevin, because that's his 2,000 Ammah, and he can take from the Tevin himself to give to his animals. Now we're talking about on Yom Tov, where you can carry. Hiddush, we don't gozer that if we let them start taking from the Tevin that's on their side of the tomb, they might go a little couple of amot away and take from the Tevin that's beyond their tomb. And they can't take stuff that is beyond their tomb. So, right? So the Mishnah is, the Brayta is just telling you what? That even when you have a pile of Tevin between two Tehumin, each guy on their respective sides can
take.
Okay, that's the Brayta. Now the Gemara poses the challenge. Katani Mihat. What is a Katani Mihat? We have a partial quotation from the Brayta. That's the style of the Gemara. When the Gemara brings a Brayta, this is a long Brayta like this, then the Gemara wants to zero in on the question.
Oh.
So the Gemara always introduces it by saying Katane Mihat, which means we have a partial quotation from the Brayta where we want to zero in now on our question. And what is it? Ze noten netoch kupato v'yachil, v'ze noten netoch kupato v'yachil. Here it says that what? They're actually allowed to fill up their boxes with tevin. How come then you told me in the case when you have the matbin between the two chatzerot, well, you let the animals eat, but you can't go fill up? Skimara says, Amre, they answered, Bayit kevan de'ika tikra ki mifkit min kirale milta. This case is a house. That middle area is a house. What are we concerned? It might be less than 10 tefachim. You might diminish it, right? A house has a roof. So when you have a roof, it's easy to discern that it's getting lower, because you're able to judge it from the roof. So therefore, we're not concerned that it might get diminished between less than 10 tefachim, and then you might come to a guy, because since you have a roof, you're able to recognize immediately that it got diminished or not. Therefore, you won't diminish it less than that. Already the tikra will remind you, stop, don't go anymore. However, hachal min kiral milta. Here, with the matbin between two chatzot, it's outside. You don't have any
gauge
exactly to measure if it got less than 10 tefachim or not. So when it's outside, we're going to make a gezerah, don't take it with kupot. When it's in the house, there's no gezerah. Because it'll never get to less than 10 tefachim. Because once it starts to diminish already, you'll notice, oh look, from the ceiling it's getting
lower.
Stop. So therefore, there is no problem in a house as opposed to a outdoor area.
Beautiful.
Comes gezerah further. Now we're analyzing the Braita. Nitma'et ha-tevin na'asara tefachim shnehem asurim. Well, actually, that's all from the Mishnah, actually. If, let's say, the Tevin became less than 10, then already both Chatzerot become Asur. Because that they considered?
One.
The Braita? Okay. That's from the Mishnah, no? Yeah, that's the Mishnah as well. Okay. In any event, the Gemara says, Ha'asara Share. But what? Implying, if it's still 10 tefachim, it is permissible. Ve'afalgav demidliya tikra tuba. Oh. Even though the tikra now is revealed, or meaning even though it's very high from the matbin. Let's go to the case of the houses. Okay, that's the case we're discussing. You have the middle house. Originally, let's say you have the table, it's all the way up to the top. Okay? Now you start taking, Still Ten Tefachim. You said Ten Tefachim, you're okay. But wait, it's not reaching the ceiling anymore. Now, what's the problem if it's not reaching the ceiling? So comes the Gemara and says, Shma Mina, I could learn over here, Mechitzot She'en Magi'ot L'Tikla, Sheman Mechitzot. Which means the whole shot of this matbin is it's a wall. You're learning over your hiddush. Walls don't have to reach the ceiling. But there is a shita that says, no, for a wall to be a wall, it's got to be a wall, got to go to the top. We're learning now, no, so long as it's just 10 tefahim, even though it didn't actually now reach the ceiling, it's still considered a legitimate wall to separate. Oh, that's the Gemara's proof. Gemara says no proof. Why? Gemara says, Amar Abayecha bebayit shelosha asar chaser mashu askinan. Who told you how big the house is, by the way? I'll tell you, know what we're talking about? We have a house that is 13 tefahim, a very small house, minus a drop. So it's 12.9. The tevin asara. And the tevin is asara. So therefore, if the tevin is asara, how far from the tevin to the top of the roof do you have? 2.9. 2.9, you're still within the lavud area. Lavud area is okay. It's considered as if it is reaching the top. So you have no problem. Who told you that we're talking about a very tall building, a house, where the tenth of time ends and you have a lot of area to the top? No. I'll tell you, you have a very small structure of 12.9. And therefore what? You have 10. 10 to the top is 2.9, you have Navud. Comes, that's Abaye's answer. Veravuna ben Rav Yoshua Amar, Afilu Tema bebayit Asara. I can say even it was a smaller house. It's a bayit of Asara of 10, Veteven Shiva Umashu. And I can say that you don't even need 10 in the Teven. Right. I can say that the Teven is 7 plus. 7 plus to 10 is less than 3. Gemara says, Dechot pahot mishlosha, kelavu dame. So comes the Gemara and says now, Bishlama la Abaye. According to Abaye, that says that it's got to be 10, it's just that the roof was 12.9. Hainu diktani me'asara. That's why it says, Nitma'et me'asara. It's no good. Mashma, that the only case that it's good is the minimum has to be 10. Ela l'Ravuna b'Rav Rav Yoshua may me'asara. What do you mean? Why are you giving me the shiur 10? 10 is not the cutoff point. It's actually 7 and change. Gemara answers, mitorat asara, from the law of asara, which means it doesn't have to be 10. It's got to be less than the law of 10, meaning the law of 10 could even be 7 and change plus the 2.9 of the airspace to the roof. So therefore, it's not asara, it's torat asara. Comes the Gemara and continues. Shnehem asurim. So in that case, if it becomes less than asara, both sides become asur. Right? On Shabbat, because they went into Shabbat, okay. Each hasid is separate. But once it breaks, now it's like what? Let's just analyze the mechanics, how it works. It's like now new dwellers entered on Shabbat. Which means exactly, once the wall comes down, let's say the Hasid on the right now joined the guy on the left. They just came on Shabbat, they surfaced, so right, we're here. So it's much with that what? When dwellers surface on Shabbat, they're going to osir the existing Hasid that's there. So comes the Gemara and says, Shema mina diyurin habayin b'Shabbat asurin. So from here you learn that in a regular case, let's say guys move in on Shabbat into the Hatzir, since they weren't there from before Shabbat, but now bottom line, they're moving in, they have the ability to be Osir on Shabbat, even though you went in with your own Eruv Hatzirot, doesn't matter. So comes the Gemara and says, meaning, and we're not going to say Hu'il v'Hutra Hutra. Meaning we're not going to say that what? Since you went into Shabbat Be'etir, it's okay. I don't care what happens on Shabbat. The main thing is Be'er Shabbat Shot. You went into Be'er Shabbat, you're okay. You can't get ruined. No, now we're saying you get ruined. Mm-hmm. So Gemara says, Dilma de'me'et me'etmol. You have no proof. Do we know when this wall came down? We were always assuming for some reason that it came down on Shabbat. Who said it came down on Shabbat? Maybe it came down on Friday. And that's why it's telling you, Shnehem Asurin. Which is, who told you? No, we never saw it. It just said, Nitma et Me'asara. So we always assumed on Shabbat. And therefore now we can bring a proof that what? That if the status changes on Shabbat, it's changed. Gemara says, no. I can argue and tell you, yeah, it was Nitma'et on Friday. So therefore it never had a Shahat Heter. Therefore, if it falls down on Friday, so therefore in Echanami, both of them are going to be asur until they make a collective Eruv. So you have no proof. You have no proof. Comes the Gemara and says, this is a quote from the Braita. Kesad, who ose, no'el et petum batil rishuto. So what did it say? Now the wall fell. Well, the tevin, let's say, became less than 10. Less than 7, each one according to its opinion. Point is now, it's on Shabbat. What do? So the Braita said, the option is to make bitul reshut. How do you make bitul reshut? One of the guys, one of the houses in the Hatzir, it's on the right side, he locks his door. Now he has no access to the Hatzir. And then he's mevatel his rights to the middle house. Right? So therefore, he's out. Now everybody has, the other guys have permission to carry. So comes Gemara and says, Tarte, which means, Tarte? You can do both? You can lock your door and mevatel? Hakika amar, o no'el et beto, o mevatel et reshuto. One answer is, you have options, which is by locking your door to the Hatzir, that also is a sign of bitul. Because what are you showing? I relinquish my rights to the Hatzir, I'm out. So that's one way. Or you can make a bitul. No, you need to. Kevan didashbe ateliteltule. Hedush. You're right, the bitul you did. But you know what's going to happen if his door remains open? He's going to forget. Because he's used to carrying it is Hatzir on Shabbat. Sure. Now all of a sudden the status changed on him. So therefore the rabbis made a gezerah and said, not only yet make bitul, but we don't want you to forget, so you got to lock your door. Mm-hmm. And now that comes out, according to this opinion, whenever we're talking about bitul reshut, it comes out that the guy that's making the bitul has to lock his door to the Hatzir so he doesn't forget to go out on Shabbat unwittingly and carry. So you do need both, according to the second answer. Next piece. Who asur v'havero mutar? Well, the Gemara is saying something that's seemingly obvious. The guy that made bitul, he's forbidden. And his friend is mutar. Now, we know this already. We know this deen 100 times already in the Masechet. So the Gemara says, peshita. That's obvious. The guy who made bitul is asur, and the guy who didn't make bitul is mutar. Gemara says, lo tzericha dehadar idach o batil lehavre. No, we're talking about where after the friend that was able to carry now, he finished what he needed to do, he then subsequently went and was mevatil his reshut back to the first guy, to allow now the first guy to carry. Which means, we learned this concept, if you remember earlier, in the last perek, the din of chozrin u'mevatlin. Are you allowed to be chozer u'mevatil on Shabbat? So you know what this Gemara is teaching you? That the mevatel is asur always, meaning the other guy cannot hozeru mevatel back to him. Which means this bright is going according to the opinion that what? In hozrin umevatlin. And that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, v'akamash ma'alad, de'en lo tzericha da'adar idach umevatel l'chavre. The case is about, wait, what? The guy then nullified his reshut to his friend. That you cannot do that. That's why the right had to speak out clearly. The mevatel is asur, no matter what. Further, now let's say you have the pile of tevin between two techomei Shabbat. So we said what? Each guy can eat or feed his animals on the respective side. So Gemara says, Pshita, which means, why not? Tehomin is only the Rabbanan. Right? So what are you worried about? Why should I make a gezerah that you might come to eat on the other side. Which means when it comes to Isurim de Rabbanan, we're not Mahmir. So why would I even think that I can't eat on my side of the tomb and he can't eat on his side? Why would I even think to make a Gezerah? So the Gemara says, you know why? Lo tzricha Rabbi Akiva d'amar tehumin d'oraita. Hadush is right. According to the Shita that says tehumin is de Rabbanan, Pashut is no problem. The Hadush is even according to Rabbi Akiva that says tomb is the oraita, still it's permissible. Now the temal exor dimal atel ahlufe kamashmalan, that you're not. Even according to Rabbi Akiva, we do not suspect that he might come to mix up and eat from the other. Now that's Hadush, which is the Tamid Rabbanan Pasut. Tamid the oraita. That already, it's still mutar. That's the Hadush. It is still mutar even according to Rabbi Akiva. We don't make a Gezerah. And we go to the... Yeah, the reason is because we don't know Hoshesh, the guy's going to make an Isur de Oraita. The guy's going to be a little careful. Therefore, we're not Hoshesh going to go take from the other side. Mm-hmm. Start the new Mishnah. Kesa mishtatefi mimavui. And now we go to practical cases now. You have a mavui. Mavui is the alleyway that is shared by Hatzerot. You need to join the Hatzerot together to make them one unit in order to allow them to carry in the Mavui. So how do you make the Shittuk Mavuot? So the Mishnah says, Maniyah HaTahabit, he takes a barrel, meaning one guy from the Hatzer is able to take a barrel of food. Ve'omer harezu lechol b'nei Mavui. No, he's able to say that this barrel of food, I am being mezakeh for everybody. Means they don't, that's quite the one opinion. They don't have to be part, they don't have to actually go physically do anything. This guy could say, listen, I want to adjust it for them. So therefore, but everybody's got to be part of it. Okay, so I will, make an acquisition that they own it. How do you do that? So there's an interesting halakha. You can gift something to somebody or make an acquisition to somebody else through a third party. Which means, if A wants to give something to B, he can go to C and say, take this item for him. Once C takes the item, automatically B now has an acquisition. Meaning you can't do it by yourself. I cannot take a barrel and say, I'm making an acquisition on behalf of B. No, it doesn't work like that. If you want to make an acquisition for somebody else, you need a third party. So therefore, the Eruv do the same thing. Take a barrel of food. I want to mizakir to all the members of the Hatzer. Find a gadol. One guy and say, listen, make an acquisition for everybody else. Now, how does that work? I'm allowed to, if it's a zechut for everybody else now, because it's to their benefit that they acquire this item. Because now it allows them to carry in the mavui. So the Mishnah says, Keta mishtatefim in mavui, maniyah et ha-habib v'omer, harezu l'chol b'nei mavui, umzakir len ayedeh beno, the Hadush can even be his son, bito ha-gedolim. But they have to be adults. They have to be of age. Okay? Just one person. One can do it for everybody. Or for that matter, he could use his maidservant. Or his avid avri.
Right.
He can even do it through his,
even his wife.
But he cannot do it through minors, because minors do not have the ability to make acquisitions. Nor can he do it through an avid kenani or shifcha kenani. Why? Neshi adan ki yado. Because their hand is an extension of his hand. When you put it in the Katan's hand, he's mixed up. Whatever the Katan owns, the father owns. So therefore, it's putting it in his own hand. Or for example, an Eved Kenani, you own him. So whatever you put in his hand, it's yours. Oh, so the Gemara has to discuss the case of the wife, because normally your wife also, what is in her hand. So you have to say, it's talking about an area where she is, that she owns, and the husband doesn't have rights. So she's putting, let's say, in a house that she has rights when the husband doesn't have rights to, as the only case where the Ishto would also be considered good. This habit now, this barrel that you want to make the shituf mevuot with, when you're making the acquisition, you have to actually lift it off the ground, at least a tefah. You can't just say, make an acquisition, the guy hugs the barrel. No, he actually has to lift it up
a tefah. Right? To make the kinyan. Now she says, Kishum zake otalahin. Which is, even if it's in his reshut, it's not considered zechiyah. Okay? Now, comes the Gemara and says, which means he has to lift it up and say, zechiti lachem. Okay, comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abba, Hani tarte mile, these two halachot, sabe de pumpedita amrinu. The elders of Pumpedita said, Hada ha. One of them was this. That why you got to lift up the barrel in the shetuv mevuot a tefah. Idach. What was the second halakha they said? Different item. Hamikadesh. The guy that's making kiddush on Friday night, for example, or on Yom Tov. Im taham melo lugmav yatsa. He has to drink at least a cheekful. Ve'im lav lo yatsa. Now kiddush a kiddush. How much does the guy have to drink to be yotzei kiddush? You have to drink a cheekful. What is that? That's rov revi'it. Let's say revi'it is 3 ounces, three little change, so you'd have to drink at least minimally 1.6 in order to be yotzei. Different shitot amongst the poskim. Does it mean the drinker or the mikadesh himself has to drink the whole shiur? Or can somebody else drink the shiur for him? Or can it be done collectively? All those opinions are brought down incidentally in Shulchan Aruch, and Maran holds b'di'avad, even if collectively everybody drank the shiur of melo lugma from that cup, so then already it's considered a legitimate kiddush. In any event, that's the second din. Kavz Gabran says, Amar Rav Habiba, as a matter of fact, the following halakha was also said by the elder rabbis of Pumpedita. Tamar Abil Amar Shmuel, Osin Midura Lehaya B'Shabbat. A lady that just gave birth. You're allowed to boil water for her or make a fire for heat purposes on Shabbat. Because a lady that just gave birth, she's in Sakana. And therefore, one of the things she's in sakana for her life is when it comes to cold. If she gets cold, Hamzulam is very dangerous. So, pikuah nefesh, dohai Shabbat. And therefore, what? Pikuah nefesh, dohai Shabbat. Therefore, you can make a fire for her on Shabbat. So, comes the Gemara and says, Savur mineh, originally they thought, when they heard this statement, lehaya'in, Lehaya lo, which means this deen of making a fire is only for a lady that just gave birth, because she is considered in danger regarding cold. But a regular sick person, cold is not considered a pikuach nefesh, a life-threatening item. So it's specifically for a haya. Second thing, bimot geshamim in bimot hama lo, and it was only said in the winter, but it wasn't said in the summer. Meaning a haya. In the summer months, if she's cold a little, you can't make a fire for her. It's only in the winter for a haya. Gemara then concluded and said, that's not so. Because we learned the statement, Itmar, Abarif haya ben Avinu Mashmuel, Hekiz dam. Even if a person bloodlet, in the olden days, it was very common to let blood. Right, that was a medicinal item. They would let blood to rejuvenate the blood in their system. So therefore, when they used to let blood, they used to get sick. So what is the deen? Vinitztanin. That becomes cold as a result of it. Osin lo medura b'Shabbat v'afilu b'tchufat Tammuz. Not only could you make him a fire, which shows you that it was not only said by a haya, it was said by any sick person, including a person that let blood, but you can even make him a fire in the summer months to show you that it's not only the winter months as well. Baruch Adonai Le'olam.
Amen. Amen.
Just one correction on the Amud Rishon. I just want to go back and read one line right before the Mishnah on the Amud Rishon when it said, with the gezusnaot that were not parallel to each other. So it said, "Aval en ben ze laze shelosha." If let's say there is less than 3 tefahim, then we said it can be adjusted. Gezusla akumahi. It's considered a gezusla that is crooked. Meaning, crooked is okay. Meaning since it's within three tefachim of each other, we just consider it the gesustra akuma, but it's still put a board and make it permissible, which means akuma is okay. But when it's more than three tefachim, it's not even considered akuma, and it is worse, even with the board. So the gesustra akuma is the permissible case because it's within three.